This Lent, we have been traveling through the covenants of the Old Testament and reflecting on them in light of our baptismal covenant. How all of those covenants of old were all a preparation for the covenant which is established on the cross and sealed in the blood of Jesus. If you remember, a covenant is a relationship or partnership between two people who then work together for a common goal. In our covenants with God, those covenants are ways that God incorporates human beings into his family. Remember, the covenant with Noah on the first Sunday of Lent was a prefiguring of baptism. That as the water destroyed the earth, cleansed the earth, the waters of baptism cleanse us of original sin. As the covenant with Noah incorporated the human family back into relationship with God, the covenant of baptism welcomes us into the family of God, which is the church. Then last Sunday, we heard about Abraham. These incredible things that God asked Abraham to do that seemed from human perspective to be totally impossible. God seemed to be contradicting himself. How could this be? But Abraham trusted. He trusted that God is faithful, that God keeps his promises. And so God rewards Abraham's faith. We remembered last Sunday about that trust. That trust we have to cultivate within ourselves, to trust in the promises of God, to remember that his promises are always kept. And today, our first reading invites us to take a look at the covenant with Moses, the covenant of the Ten Commandments. This is perhaps the most well-known of all of the covenants of the Old Testament, since most people have heard of the Ten Commandments. So remember briefly the story. The children of Abraham, after thousands of years after Abraham, are now in slavery in Egypt. They spend about 400 years there. When God says that he will free them, and he calls on Moses to go to Pharaoh, and there's all these spectacular signs, and Pharaoh lets the people go. And they go out into the desert, and Moses goes up the mountain, Mount Sinai, and he speaks with God. And in the chapter right before today's first reading, God says to Moses, "If you obey me completely and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all peoples." So God gives to Moses these Ten Commandments. And he comes down the mountain with the commandments, and the people say, "Yes, yes, we will follow them." But then Moses goes back up the mountain to speak to God, and remember what happens. The people create the golden calf, the idol, and they begin to worship it. Moses comes down the mountain and he smashes the tablets as a sign that the covenant has been broken. God gives Moses then two more tablets, version 2.0. And he goes down and they say, "Yes, we will keep the commandments that God has given to us." So these commandments that God gave to Moses, they're still valid for us. They're still part of our covenant with God, our baptismal covenant. They form the basis of our Christian moral life. But commandments are not very popular these days. People don't like anyone telling them what they can and can't do, even God. We look in our modern times at laws as being a way that stifle our freedom, when in contrast, they actually make us free. True freedom doesn't mean a lack of rules. Freedom means acting within the boundaries that God has created for us. That's how we are fully alive, by enjoying all of the good things that God provides for us and avoiding those things that are pitfalls and dangerous. Think for a moment about a stop sign. Are you free to drive through a stop sign? Yeah, you're free to drive through a stop sign. But is that true freedom? That's license. By driving through that stop sign, you run the risk of killing yourself or someone else. But when we abide by that law, then we're free. We can go about our business happily. God's commandments give us true freedom. True freedom to enjoy everything God has provided for us. We take a look then at today's gospel, the gospel of the cleansing of the temple. The temple was God's dwelling place on earth. It was meant to be the place of right worship. That amidst all of the pagan people that surrounded the Jews in the temple in Jerusalem, the one true God was worshipped. But instead, by the time of Jesus, it had become a marketplace, a place of selling and bartering and animals. And Jesus comes into the temple with this righteous anger, and he drives them all out to reestablish what the temple was meant to be, the place for the worship of God. At our baptisms, our temples, our souls became a temple of God, a place of right worship. As God dwelled in the temple of old, he comes to dwell in our souls in the sacrament of baptism with his divine life. And when we follow the commandments that he gave us, when we serve him with our whole heart, mind, and soul, it's then that we become a place of right worship. The Catechism says that living the Ten Commandments is a response to the Lord's loving initiative. Because God first loved us, we want to follow these commandments because we know he gave them to us for our good. But don't we let our souls sometimes become a marketplace? We let in the money changers. We let in the idols, the golden calves that we worship, the lesser gods that we turn our attention to. And it's then that our temples, our souls need to be overturned. We have to turn away from the temptations of the world, the temptations of the flesh, the traps of the devil. God's word is speaking to us today and encouraging us to overturn the temple of our souls and get rid of anything that is not oriented towards God, to make our souls once again a place of right worship. And how do we do that? We do that by examining the Ten Commandments. We do that through an honest assessment of what God has given to us for our good and how we have been living up to that. Oftentimes, when people look at the Ten Commandments, they'll take them at sort of a surface level. They'll say, oh, you shall not kill. I haven't killed anybody. Check. But really, there's so much more going on there. Each of us have three primary relationships in our lives: our relationship with God, our relationship with others, our relationship with ourselves. And when we look at each of those commandments in the light of those three relationships, we see a lot more. So let's stick with that commandment, you shall not kill. Well, how does that relate to our relationship with God? Well, we kill the divine life in our souls when we don't feed it, when we don't stay in communion with God, by going to Mass if we're able, by reading the scriptures, by prayer. When we don't do those things, we kill our souls. Our relationship with others. Do I build other people up in my life, especially the people that I live with? How about in work or in school? Are my relationships building up, or are they killing others by the way I treat them? And our relationship with ourself, We can kill ourselves by our addictions, our bad habits, the harmful and the sinful behaviors that we engage in. All of those are a way that we do damage to ourselves. All of those relate to the fourth commandment. This Lent, we're invited to look at turning over the money changers that we have let into our souls, the temple of our souls. And the way we do that is through the sacrament of confession or reconciliation or penance, whatever name you'd like to give to it. The sacrament of reconciliation is an opportunity for us to look at those Ten Commandments and see the areas where we're struggling and to bring that up into the light, into God's light, to be forgiven and to receive the grace we need to turn away from all of that, to turn our souls back into a place of right worship of the one true God. We offer the sacrament of reconciliation every Saturday at 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:45 here at St. Mark. And this Lent, we will have two special opportunities on March 16th and March 24th from 3 to 5 p.m. and 7 to 8 p.m. We'll have three priests available during that time to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, and we'll have at least one visiting priest available during that time. Because when it comes to confession, everybody loves Father Visitor. And that's okay. I don't take that personally. So this Lent, we have the opportunity to lay down our burdens, to lay down those promises that we have broken in order to live by our baptismal covenant. Through this, examining our lives through the Ten Commandments and celebrating the sacrament of reconciliation. Historians tell us that the temple in Jerusalem was a place of great beauty, that it was made of white stones that used to glow in the desert sun, that it was built on a hill that could be seen for miles and miles in the desert. My friends, we do not have to travel thousands of miles to go to God's house, to encounter the living God. God has made his dwelling in our souls through the sacrament of baptism. So my friends, let us overturn those areas of our souls that need to be given back to God so that we can truly live in the freedom of his sons and daughters.